Mandy, thank you so much for spending your time with me today on the podcast. So Mandy, I have Mandy from MH Performance here. And today we're going to be talking about nutrition and optimizing your diet for top athletes and business owners as well. I've been working with Mandy for the past couple of years now. You know, it's been a pleasure working with you. You do a lot in terms of the fitness scene. So Mandy, can you give my audience a little bit of more of a rundown on yourself and MH Performance?
Sure. So firstly, thank you so much for having me on. I'm stoked to be here. So MH Performance, we are a bit of a hybrid coaching company. So we specialize in, we're very niche, but we do cover a broad basis essentially. So we work with typically with women in 20s, 30s, 40s, who are really struggling with their health. So they might have a lot of gut issues, hormonal issues, metabolic dysfunction. And they also have a lot of body composition goals. So that's kind of one thing we do. And we do that both online, in group, and also one in person. Then we also specialize working with high-level combat sport athletes as well. So we have quite a few Muay Thai fighters particularly training with us. So we work with them on both their strength and conditioning, their nutrition, their weight-cutting protocols, and getting them in peak condition for their fights. I also specialize working with netball athletes, particularly youth, so 12 to 17 year old netballers. My master's degree in sports science was looking at strength and conditioning and injury prevention in young netball players. So we have a program designed for that. And I've also worked with elite netballers in Wannal for 6 years I was in Wannal. And then we also have combat sports netball. And now we've just started working with our female AFL players as well. So we have a waffle AFL team that we are working with, and that's under 18s, reserves and leagues that we've just started. So we're very niche, but we cover quite a broad spectrum.
Yeah, you got a lot of really targeted niches, which is what I love about you and the brand, right? So like the amount of times I've been in the gym in the facility here in Perth and like seeing what you guys do in terms of your fighters, your netball athletes, and your, you know, your females coming through with, you know, all different kind of issues as well, like gut issues and everything that's happening, like everything under the sun. Like it's pretty cool for you to get someone from where they are and then just transform them into someone like who they never thought they could possibly be, in a sense, in like over a phase or a periodization model. So, and you guys do training. You're very good at training and nutrition as well. So you look at everything. You don't just look at one thing. You look at both sides of the coin, if that makes sense.
100%. We're very holistic. So not even just nutrition and training, but we look at behavior. We look at accountability. We also look at lab work and blood analysis as well. And we look at that through a lens of micronutrient deficiencies. Are they digesting food properly? Are they not absorbing nutrients properly? And or is there, you know, some level of dysfunction, whether it's metabolic or gut, that we need to address? And with doing that, particularly with our athletes, we're able to get them to reach a much higher level of performance just by really focusing on improving their health.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Because I remember looking at your packages and what you guys offer. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, is there anything you guys don't do? Like, if you sign up to
MH. Really. We're kind of like all in one. So we're like nutritionists, we're strength coaches, we're life coaches, you know. We're definitely not psychologists, but there is a big aspect of working on people's mental health that we do use, and getting them through limiting beliefs. And myself and Naomi and Sabrina are all NLP practitioners as well. And timeline therapy practitioners. So we take that into our coaching experience as well. And we work with our athletes on their mindset around competition and helping them in that aspect to reducing those anxieties.
And like everyone who works at MH has to have a very high level of like, you know, accreditation, right? Like you can't Absolutely. Just be anyone.
Yes, no, I am minimum sports science degree, but I always look for people that are wanting to continually learn and grow. So at the moment we have a coaching staff of 7 plus my operations manager. So all of them are minimum sports science. Then I have 2 master's degrees. I've got Talia doing her master's, Sarah's done her master's, and all of us are doing Jake Carter's functional health 12-month course as well. Plus, Lewis and I both have sports nutrition certificates as well. So we're continually learning, and at any time we all have about two or three courses going at once. We all feed off one another as well, and we all grow together. So that's one of my major values, that you need to want to continue to learn and continue to grow, so we can not only provide the best service for our clients, but we want to be the best people possible and best coaches possible for them too.
And the good thing is, like, all you guys are athletes as well. Like, it's not just like you're just, you know, brains at a desk. You guys are actually the guys going through the motions as well.
Yes, 100%. So I am a competitive Muay Thai fighter as well, which is kind of how we got, we started attracting these Muay Thai fighters. It's definitely not something I ever thought I was going to get into. Muay Thai was like my little thing that I did. And it was my, like, away from my business. And then, you know, Megan Berberick was my first fighter that came on board, and she got insane results, and everybody in the gym started noticing it. And then next minute we've got, you know, another 5 or 10 athletes from that gym, and then it just grew, and now we have athletes at nearly most gyms in Perth, which is insane. And on the East Coast, we've got a few over East as well.
That's crazy. Yeah. And it's super funny. Like, when I've been filming your seminars and you're speaking to like these 12, 13 year old girls who are netball athletes, and you're like, actually, I don't do netball. I do Muay Thai.
Yeah. They always look at me. And even when I went down to footy last night, the girls are like, so do you play AFL? And I'm like, God, no, I do not play AFL. I'm Muay Thai fighter. Like, I understand the biomechanics. I understand what required. I understand how you girls move, how you need to move, how we need to improve your performance. But no, I cannot kick a football to save my life or throw a netball.
So like, walk me through, like, how did MH get started? Like, before we get into the questions I have, because I have some really good questions that I want to ask, predominantly just for my benefit, but I'm sure everyone else will benefit from them. But walk me through, like, how did you start MH? Like, walk me through what happened.
So I originally did a strength and conditioning internship on the East Coast when I was doing my undergraduate degree, and I wasn't 100% sure what I wanted to do. And so I applied for the strength and conditioning internship, and we worked through 10 certificates. I worked with an academy netball team. So I was just given the netball squad in that internship. And that's kind of what sparked my interest in netball, is I started working with this girl, started learning more about strength and conditioning. And I was like, wow, netball has this insane injury rate. Like, these girls move really poorly. And then I was looking at the research, and I was like, there's literally no research into injury prevention programs for these girls. But it's very clear in the research that there's a high risk of injury, but nobody's really doing anything about it. So my mentor at the time, this was in Bathurst over East, put me in contact with Dr. Greg Huff here in Perth, and he works out of ECU, and he's one of the best strength scientists in the world. So I came over here, did a week of work experience, met him. I followed a coach, Adam Molsky, around for a week. He let me live with him. He was working with the Waves, wheelchair basketball, like multiple athletes. And I was pretty sold on Perth after that. So I applied here to do my master's in sports science under Greg, with my research looking at injury prevention programs for young netball athletes. So that's kind of where that sparked. And then I started working just as a personal trainer in a rent model at Plus Fitness. And that was purely for the fact that I needed to make money. Centrelink had cut me off because apparently the master's in sports science was not an approved course. And I moved across the country not knowing that. So I was like, all right, you need to work full time if you're going to survive. So from there, that's when I, like, just started to attract all of these girls that were like in their early 20s, mid 20s, suffering a lot of gut problems, hormonal issues, metabolic issues, struggling with under eating, disordered eating patterns. And personally, I come from that exact experience. Like, I suffered from gut issues for 6 to 8 years. So I was just naturally attracting girls that kind of had the same problems. And I was able to fix quite a lot of them and support them through that and get them the result that they wanted. So that's how, and then once I finished my master's, I was like, all right, well, I don't just want to be a personal trainer in a gym. I want to do something with this. Like, I've got this research now. I just spent 2 years straight studying nothing but netball. And that's where I developed the netball injury prevention with netball strength and conditioning program that we have for 12 to 17 year old athletes. And when I started working for a one-all netball club, which I was with them for 6 years. So I was, and then I always thought like I would go into just working with athletes, but I was just never able to let go of working with these girls because there's such a need for it. And there's so many coaches that aren't doing it correctly and are significantly putting these girls in like calorie restriction, overtraining, and these girls getting burnt out and they're having a lot of problems. So I always just kept doing that because of how much I loved it. And then I've just continually continued to learn about functional health. So that has kind of exploded there. And then the athlete stuff comes alongside that. So I'm goal orientated, but I was never like, I want my own gym and I want this and I want that. Everything that was happened to us has happened like because we had to. So like I ended up moving out of like Plus Fitness and having my own facility because I had no choice. We were working out of two gyms. I had me and one coach with me. The rent I was paying was astronomical. Even my accountant was looking at my like books being like, what are you doing? You're going to be spending half the money in your own facility and with the potential to earn more. So we moved into our own facility. Then the leads kept coming in, so I had to put on more coaches, and then we grew out of that space, so I had to buy the unit next door, and like everything kind of just like grew organically. And as it did, I was like, okay, how do we adapt? We need to keep changing things in order to cope with this. So that's kind of how it's developed.
That's awesome. And I think like when I shoot your testimonials and I speak to your girls, in particular girls, and even guys coming through your programs, is they're just like, I've never eaten this much before in my life and I've gotten the results that I want. You know, like that's what everyone's saying, because yeah. Like you just mentioning like a lot of girls going through these like calorie restrictions, overtraining, etc. And like all these girls like coming through your program and your doors are just like, I'm eating so much and I'm getting the best results.
Yes, exactly. And it's almost like it's quite difficult as we're changing people's mentalities, where we've always been taught that if you want to lose weight, you've got to eat less, which is true. Yes, we do need to be in a deficit, but we cannot be in a deficit 24/7 all year round. And this is what these girls have been trying to do. And then they're wondering why it's not working. So the first thing we do is getting them eating more food, which is a very big mental hurdle initially, but when they start to see those results, they start to see that their gut improves, they start to see they've got more energy, they're sleeping better, their training performance is next level, and they're getting leaner, that's when they're like, okay, I'm just going to do whatever these people say. But if we do get to it, we push people high with their food until they, you know, if they do plateau, and then we can start cutting them. But the common thing we do here is like, I cannot physically eat any more food. Like, please, please don't give me any more food.
Now that's a perfect segue into what I'm about to ask. So we're going to go through more questions around diet, nutrition, around, you know, top performance, right? So first of all, like, what are the early signs now? Sorry about my two dogs in the background.
I've actually been loving watching them.
They're like literally having a fight behind me. So if you guys hear like some growls, like I apologize for that. So what are the early signs or symptoms that you see an athlete come through the doors and you're like, look, like your diet's off, or you're, you know, you're not kind of performing that the way you should be because of your diet and food, etc.?
So like interesting when we talk about athletes, because I think there's a lot of similarities between athletes and business owners, but also the general population. The thing with both athletes and business owners is they tend to have a very similar mentality. So they are pushing their bodies to typically an unhealthy level to attain a certain level of performance. And business owners do this as well. So you can only really train and work as hard as you can recover. And I definitely find that most athletes and business owners and people across the board are typically under eating. They're under really high training loads or high workloads. There's many other stresses, whether it's finances, pandemics, relationships, a lot of other things going on in the world. They're not recovering properly. And as a result, we see a whole range of nutrient deficiencies, which poses several risks to their physiology. So their bodies, definitely athletes and business owners, we require more nutrients because we tend to deplete them a hell of a lot quicker, particularly when there is a lot of stress in the body, whether that is physical or mental or both. So the early signs that we'll typically see are firstly fatigue and low energy, brain fog, irritability. They tend to be more easily overwhelmed, decreased stress resilience, like low motivation, like more procrastination. Tasks tend to take a little bit longer than normal. When you see that performance or strength isn't improving or has plateaued in the gym and they're not able to concentrate and focus, that's probably the first kind of sign that we look for, or even those signs of they just don't want to do it, which is unlike them. And when you know that's not their personality type, that's like a big red flag. We're like, okay, I think that we're starting to probably go into those signs of fatigue and under recovery and burnout. So typically what we'll, when we start to see those signs, those early signs, which when you know your athlete well and you see them multiple times a week, it's pretty easy to pinpoint that when they're not being themselves. So we always would just throw in a deload week. And I do this with business owners as well. If they've been working balls to the wall for weeks or months on end, we put in like a business deload week as well, where it's like, okay, this week or for a week or 2 weeks, we're going to half the workload that you're doing or delegate it to somebody else and focus more on recovery, which is the same thing we do with our athletes in the gym. We will deload them, decrease their volume by 20%. We might even decrease their loads by 20 to 50% depending, or we might keep intensity high, depends where they're at, and then keep their food high and have more focus on recovery and mobility in that week as well.
I love that. So yeah, having that deload week, even if you're a business owner, you can still look at those, that work output, and look at recovery and focus, so then you can come back stronger again in the coming weeks.
100%. And we've always got to look at their energy availability. So is this person eating enough to cope with the demands of their sport, to cope with the demands of their business? Are they getting the right nutrients in order to be able to cope with it? Because if they're going to be low in any nutrients, and I'll talk about the specific ones a little bit later, which we can identify in blood work, like then if we can identify those and get those in, then they're going to see a massive improvement in those early signs of fatigue as well, or even prevent them getting there in the first place.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. So like, I'm probably going to throw a question off the cuff right now. So in terms of like total, like nutrients, right? Should you be looking at just like, okay, today I did this, or is there timing involved with something like this?
With your, depending on the nutrients, I guess. So we want to make sure of the, in that day, people are getting an adequate amount of things like iron, zinc, B12, selenium, iodine, B vitamins, particularly vitamin D. So we want to make sure that every single day we're getting those vitamins in. Not typically, I don't really do much around timing of the nutrients unless we are supplementing. Like, for example, iron and zinc will compete for absorption, so we wouldn't want to take those things at the same time of the day. And then you've got calcium and coffee can also, and turmeric can inhibit iron absorption as well. So you wouldn't want me having your iron tablet for breakfast alongside your coffee, yeah, essentially. Right. So there is specific timing with some nutrients because certain things can compete for absorption, like magnesium and vitamin B6, I'm pretty sure compete for absorption. Yeah, so there's a whole list of them. I think I did a post on it recently, actually, on Instagram, where I talked about each nutrient and what competes and how we want to take them at separate times in the day. Also, there's a in brown rice is a very, very common food that most people and athletes will typically eat. I actually don't ever give anyone brown rice. It contains something called phytic acid, and this does inhibit the absorption of iron, zinc, and calcium. So I'm much more of a fan of white rice because it doesn't contain phytic acid, so it's not going to inhibit any absorption of those nutrients. It's also a lot better on digestion as well.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. So guys, if you want to go check out that post of Mandy, I will put her social medias down below, so make sure to check out those posts out. So Mandy, like, how does an athlete like eat for performance, or say like a business owner, like how should we be eating for performance? Should we be doing keto? Should we be doing intermittent fasting? What should we be doing?
That's good, because with both mental and physical performance, we need to make that sure the person is consuming adequate energy. So if we're an athlete, typically we're looking at about 40 calories per kilo of body weight. That's ideally where we want them to be. If they're eating below 30 calories per kilo of body weight, that's a bit of a red flag that they are at risk of what we call restricted energy deficit syndrome, So basically RED syndrome is that tail end of that fatigue. So we're starting to see gut issues, constipation, bloating, low stomach acid, leaky gut. We start to see the immune system downregulate. Menstrual cycle issues in girls is a very big red flag that REDS is occurring. They have an increased risk of injury. There's psychological problems that come with it, and also metabolic issues as well, and hormonal. So the list is pretty long. So when we are looking at what they need to be eating. Firstly, protein is vital. So protein provides an array of amino acids that are going to have a positive effect on mental and physical performance. So essentially, we've got hemoglobin, which is a protein that carries oxygen to every part of the body, particularly iron. So we need to make sure we have adequate amounts of protein in our diet to ensure that's working properly. It's vital for brain signaling. It helps to produce antibodies that, which are basically proteins that protect the body from foreign invaders. Also needed, obviously, for muscular movements, including breathing. It can be used as an energy source. And I think the biggest thing about protein is it breaks down into amino acids, and these are needed for neurotransmitter function. So the brain needs a continuous supply of amino acids in order to synthesize neurotransmitters. So for example, tyrosine is an amino acid that is used to synthesize dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. And tryptophan is needed to synthesize serotonin, and that's involved in mood particularly. So like, for example, some like symptoms of low dopamine, I've got them somewhere, actually I can find them.
Sorry, I was muted then, but what I'm hearing is if you you eat protein, you'll be happier. That's what I'm hearing.
Pretty much as well, but you've got like things like if you're low in dopamine, you're going to be more depressed, you're going to lack concentration and focus, you're going to have low energy, you're going to be sleeping all the time. You also tend to have more a tendency towards more addictive behaviors. Whereas then if we are low in serotonin, you're more likely to depression, anxiety as well, difficulty falling asleep, very sensitive to pain, prone to more obsessive behaviors, loss of enjoyment of hobbies, and social phobias and mood swings. So protein, we want to be sitting around for an athlete, probably looking at about 2 grams per kilo of body weight, and we want to see them evenly spread throughout the day. And one amino acid that's really vital is called choline, and that's essential for acetylcholine, and that plays a very big role in our cognitive function too.
Wow. Okay, cool. So
that's just protein.
Yeah, wow. Okay. So continue. I got notes, but continue.
So the next, obviously, fats as well. So fats are really important for cognitive function. We need about 30% at least of your total energy intake coming from fat. We need these to synthesize hormones, particularly like to synthesize them from cholesterol. So we need cholesterol in order to make testosterone and estrogen. So people on a really low fat diet are typically going to have low cholesterol. And I see low cholesterol in bloods a lot, particularly with athletes, because they do tend to favor carbohydrates, which we definitely want 100%. We still need to make sure there's adequate fat in the diet. It also helps with synthesizing bile. So bile helps us break down fat. Bile is also needed to eliminate pathogens, mycotoxins, and endotoxins from the body. So if we have poor bile function or we're not digesting fat properly, we can see gut issues as well start to arise. And if there is dysbiosis or something, or even estrogen, so bile gets rid of excess estrogen and excretes it from the body. But if we have low cholesterol and low bile function because we're not eating enough fat, the body's not going to be able to do that, and the excess estrogen will just circulate back into the body, and we start to have symptoms of estrogen dominance, which can cause a bunch of problems as well. And the other thing with fat is you've got to remember 60% of the brain is made from fat, so we need fats for optimal brain function. Particularly omega-3s are important, but most people tend to have more omega-6 than omega-3. And we want about a ratio of 5 to 1. So the more Mediterranean diet tends to favor your more omega-3s, and that gives it a good ratio. But when that ratio is off, your omega-3s are going to be more associated with better memory and lower risk of cognitive deterioration as well. So less risk of Alzheimer's disease and dementia later in life.
Yeah, when I first started learning more about nutrition, when I started studying nutrition, like entry-level nutrition back in like 2014 or something like that, we'll look at the Mediterranean diet quite a bit, and that looked legit, like in terms of the fats and stuff like that. So that's awesome. So did you mention that it's 30% of your calories you'd be looking at fats?
100%, definitely, as a minimum, for sure. If you're, as an athlete, I definitely wouldn't be recommending a keto diet. Because we need carbohydrates for anaerobic performance particularly. I think I've read some research, it can be a little bit mixed, but it doesn't look like you're going to get a massive improvement in performance with keto. You might just maintain your performance. But if you're a business owner and you're not an athlete, you know, keto diets have been shown to have favorable effects on brain health and cognitive function. And because it does have better dopamine to serotonin ratio, so that can actually increase alertness and focus, whereas like serotonin is obviously more relaxing and it can convert to melatonin. So a lower carb diet and a more keto diet can favor dopamine, so that more alertness, more focus. However, you also got to remember that people can be more dopamine dominant in general. There's the Braverman test online where you can actually see what neurotransmitters you may be dominant in, which is quite interesting. But people that are more dopamine dominant tend to have a greater risk of food addiction. So those people can sometimes be better following a more flexible diet as well, which is why I don't put a lot of people on keto, particularly girls, because I find that they just can't, they really struggle to stick to it. And then, they end up binging, which has obviously its own issues. So if we focus on a more flexible diet, allow them to have a little bit more carbohydrates, but still have higher fat, they've got more flexibility. They don't have those cravings, but they still get some really good effects from the higher fat.
Got you. Okay, cool. So I've got notes here. So it's like fat's 30% roughly. And it was pretty, very interesting. I wanted to kind of jump on that point you made about keto with high fats, with like, just not being an athlete in general, but just being a business owner. Like I have a friend, Jason, he's a chiropractor, and I want to get him on the podcast actually. But what he did was when he went through exam periods, he switched to keto because he felt like he could study better through keto. He didn't really train throughout those times because he was just studying for exams. So he knew that, hey, like I'm going to drop performance. I know that. But at the end of the day, I need to focus on my primary objective, which is study. So like, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because like that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's really cool. He's a really smart guy, but I guess you don't have to stick to a diet forever. You know, things can be temporary, and if your priorities are always going to change. So sometimes your priorities are going to be work, and it's going to be study, and it's going to be uni, and then it might be training, and it might be performance, and it might be body composition. So you can alter your diet depending on what your priority is at the time. And I do this with a lot of my online clients, particularly. Like I have one girl, and we went into a deficit. We wanted to focus a bit more on body composition, but then we kind of found that she actually just wanted to focus on her mental health. So we ended up pulling her out of that and going back to maintenance and just working on her stress management strategies and getting consistent and building good habits. And we're not even worried about body composition right now. We know that when she's ready, we will be able to do that. We're going to be in a good position to do that. But right now it's not the focus, and that's completely okay.
Yeah, I like that. I love the approach of just like, because with personal trainers going through my program, right, for example, like I'll give them like marketing objectives, I'll give them all these things to do, right? But then some people, like if they struggle with, you know, their health, or their like some health issues coming up, or their mental health isn't like in check, I'm like, dude, like you need to get, like that is priority. Like you need to prioritize yourself, because without you, there's no marketing. Without marketing, there's no sales. Without sales, there's no business. So without the fundamentals of your health, like that is key, and it trumps everything. So like, obviously looking at your sleep, your nutrition, your training, just like, and healthy habits, right? So like, I love that, how it's like you focus and you can aim for what your objective through time. Like you don't need to like, and that's what I hate when I read books. Like I'm reading this book now, like Good and Bad Calories. It's like it's super long and I'm super boring, but it's like, just like understanding, like you don't need to eat one way for your entire life. Like it's just like, I read one book and it's like, oh, I guess I got to eat this way for the rest of my life. It's like, it kind of sucks, because it puts you in like this annoying room that you don't want to be a part of. So
yeah. And I think a lot of girls particularly get stuck in that they think they've got to follow a certain diet forever to get results or keep their results. But what they don't understand is the body is constantly adapting over time, and we need to adapt with it. And this is where that periodization comes in. So, you know, we have those periods, we are focused on reverse dieting, and we need to focus on fixing your gut and fixing your health and building a metabolic rate and sorting out your hormones or your PCOS or your Hashimoto's, whatever that is. And I always say, like, when we are doing this stuff, and my goal is not body composition. We need to get you healthy. We need to get these calories up. Then when you get into a good position, your bloods are good, you're feeling good, you've got a good relationship with food, then we can go into a bit of a cut. And we might even trial a mini cut for 4 weeks and just see if they're able to be consistent and adherent to it. And if they're not, it's like, okay, maybe we're not ready for that mentally. We need to go back out. We'll start a little reverse and we'll work on that and we'll go back in. So it's constantly changing and adapting. And even with tracking, so obviously I'm big on tracking. However, you know, I definitely have clients where we don't track, particularly if they have a history of eating disorders. We do not do any tracking. I have clients that intuitively eat. And sometimes, you know, if they're busy, work's hectic, body composition isn't the goal, we will stop tracking if that's stressing them out and we'll just go to a more intuitively eating. But intuitively eating is a skill, and it takes a lot of time to develop that. So usually there is a period of having to learn tracking and flexible dieting before they're able to get to that position of intuitively eating. But same thing, you don't have to track forever. There's always going to be periods where we're not going to track, or eventually getting you to that goal where you are able to, you know your body well enough that you can intuitively eat, you know, and maintain your results and continue to improve your health as well.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I'm probably the worst person with intuitive eating, because what will happen is when I get to work, I'm like, fuck it, let's redline this baby. And I just have coffees. And then like, I get like 16 hours in, I'm like, I haven't eaten anything. I still got to train. I'm like, fuck.
But you know what? I know that like Jake Carter, when he has to present, he fasts all day before he presents. And when he was like coming out to the gym to run 7 hours for us all day, like he will not eat until the end of the day. We're all sitting there eating throughout the day, but he, for his focus and, to stay, you know, more alert and everything, he fasts for the entire day.
100%. So, I agree. Like fasting is so good and I get way more productivity out of fasting, but it kind of comes into an issue is when you want to focus on performance as well through your training. Like that's when you have to really have the conversation with yourself and like, okay, what is it? And I guess it comes back down to the original conversation, which was like, what's the priority? Is it business or is it performance? Like you got to choose.
Yeah. And I feel that like I had 2 fights at the end of last year, and for 6 months I was just, my business cruised at maintenance. And my focus was solely on performance and on training. And, you know, I wasn't able to put 100% into growing the business. So now that those are done and now I've taken a step back from training and I'm not going to fighters every single night, but I'm able to focus now on our growth. So I definitely go through those periods as well where, okay, I'm focused on training now, I'm focused on this. Okay, now I'm focused on business. And I think that that's healthy as well. Even though, you know, it's still you function at a high level, high workload, high training load, it is different. So it gives you a bit of a break as well. So it's not getting monotonous for you. And by the time I'd had my fights, I was like, all right, I'm ready to do things in business now. Like, and you know, by the time I got ready to training, I was like, all right, I'm ready to train. Like I'm focused on this now.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing, especially everyone who's listened to this podcast is probably going to be a high performer. So they probably can relate to us 100%. I do have a question as well. And I guess this is not necessarily for me, but I do know this is a big issue with girls being entrepreneurs or just like being general girls, but being a high productive female with low energy, iron issues and stuff like that. Like, can you give us like some help in terms of like understanding that a little bit more, maybe? Like, why do girls, like, why do I see constantly females struggling with energy?
Oh, so many reasons. Like, I think it does come back to that under eating for sure. Obviously, if you are a high performer and you are, you know, 100% every single day, you're going to burn out. You're going to be putting so much stress through your adrenals. And if you're not going to be balancing that with, you know, trying to go for walks and go down to the beach and have time for yourself and have time, you know, like I always try to schedule in date nights and stuff with my partner. So, you know, that's keeping that balanced as well, because it's very easy just to get I guess completely obsessed with what you're doing. But obviously energy availability, number one. Typically we do so many bloods, so many, and if you're an elite athlete as well, you're going to be depleting nutrients through training. And if you're in a calorie deficit as well, you're going to be depleting nutrients. So iron particularly is something we see girls really struggle with. So it plays a very important role in, you know, supporting protein and enzyme function. So it's essential for physical performance. Like I said, it carries oxygen all around the body. And it also plays a very big role in thyroid function. So we need iron to convert T4 to T3. And if we have, you know, low iron, low selenium, low iodine, low zinc, low copper, low vitamin D, that pathway isn't going to work properly. And if your thyroid is sluggish, then you're going to struggle with low energy as well. If you're under eating, your thyroid is probably going to be a little bit sluggish, particularly if you have been under eating for a very long time. Zinc is another one, particularly with combat sport athletes. Combat sport, we know from the research, zinc is like one of the top deficiencies in combat sport athletes. It has a very big benefit to improving performance. It helps recruit fast twitch muscle fibers, so particularly important for combat sport athletes. It plays a role in energy production, protein synthesis, so very important for physical performance. It helps make testosterone, and it is depleted through exercise. So particularly our combat sport athletes, these guys will train 2 to 3 times a day. So they pretty much need to be supplementing the zinc, but you can obviously get zinc from oysters, hemp seeds, beef, lamb, and clams are really great. And then iron, same thing, beef, lamb, chicken, thigh, chicken, pork. So animal protein is essentially where we're going to get the highest amount of micronutrients from that are going to benefit our performance. And when I see, I mean, I'm pretty fortunate. I don't have any elite athletes that are vegetarian. Not that I'm saying it can't be done. It absolutely can. But I get a lot of blood work of girls that are vegetarian, and the nutrient deficiencies are insane, and they really struggle with low energy, low iron, low zinc, low B12, low B vitamins across the board. And B vitamins are involved in energy production. They play a role in the citric acid cycle. So if we are low in B vitamins, we're going to have problems across the board, particularly with energy. So I think it's definitely like quality of food. Are they eating enough food? And then are they training, or is their workload so high, or is their stress so high that they are depleting through these nutrients really quickly?
Wow. So girls, if you listen to this and you struggle with low energy, you got to hit Mandy up.
I mean, the other thing I'd love, one of my favorite micronutrients is vitamin D. Some really great research on vitamin D. I bang on about it all the time on my Instagram, and I know firsthand. So I got my bloods done. I did my bloods, I think it was early last year. My vitamin D was trash. I don't see very many bloods where vitamin D is not trash. But once I did my loading protocol, got my vitamin D up, I couldn't believe the difference in my energy levels. Like I usually nap in the day. I've always been a napper in the day. I can't nap in the
day.
Don't
you feel like shit afterwards? Like how long we talking?
Yeah, I do.
You just go through, you just keep going.
I just do it anyway. And then again, I'll have my coffee and off I go again. But I found that since I got my vitamin D up, I wasn't able to nap in the day anymore. I was able to wake up well in the morning, and I dropped a few kilos like pretty much straight away. And there is some good research because on vitamin D, they looked at women particularly. They were all in a deficit. The women that had enough vitamin D lost more weight than the girls that were deficient in vitamin D. But not only does it have favorable effects for weight loss and energy levels, there's some really great research on vitamin D improving performance. So I know they did a study in professional basketball players, and they found that those that had enough vitamin D, sprint times were faster, vertical jump height was higher. They also, there's been a link between vitamin D and grip strength, and also vitamin D and jump height because of the quad, calf, strength that it, I think there's vitamin D receptors or something in there that helps increase that. So there's actually heaps of research on it. There was a study with NBA athletes as well. They found that 80% of the players were either deficient in vitamin D or had insufficient vitamin D. So we know that athletes across the board are pretty low in vitamin D, and this has negative effects on their performance. We also know that 1 in 2 people that have depression also have vitamin D deficiency. So vitamin D is massive, and the marker where you need to kind of be sitting in the range is quite low in the pathological range. So I think if you go get your vitamin D done at the GP, like if it's 50 and above, they're happy with it. But what they did is because we're deficient in vitamin D as a nation, it used to be higher. It used to be like 70 or 80, but nobody was hitting 70 or 80. So they just lowered it. So it's kind of like if, you know, everybody at school is failing, they just make the test easier. So everybody gets an A.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So vitamin D, ideally, I like to see it over 120. that's kind of where I like to see it for any like improvements in performance and improvements in energy levels. I mean, you can get vitamin D obviously from salmon and eggs and fish and getting sunlight. But depending how low people are, they might have, most people have to supplement for a period of time to get their levels up.
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a story, right? And I haven't told Lewis this yet because Lewis is one of your coaches, right? And I went up to him. And I was like, hey, man, so like, and this is when I first heard about vitamin D. And I was like, dude, like, so how much vitamin D should I be taking, right? And he was like, oh, like, I think it was like 1,000 ICU or something like that. However, for like every 25 kilos of body weight you have or something like that. I can't remember the math. He said it correctly. I'm sure he said it correctly. I'm just not remembering it correctly. And he said like a number. And it was like, I think I was going to have about 4,000 or 5,000 IEUs or whatever it was. So I went down to the chemist, right? And then I went there and I bought like, I was like, oh, hey, I'm looking for this like vitamin D. And she was like, oh yeah, like how much are you going to take? And I was like, oh, like 4,000, 5,000. She was like, really? Like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, oh, like nothing. And she was like, oh, well, like you only should be taking that if like you're like, you know, you got cancer or I don't know, something, right? Like something bad. I was like, holy shit, really? And I was like thinking, so then I went and got tested like with my vitamin D and he was like, yeah, everything seems fine apart from your zinc, you need to get your zinc up. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So now I'm thinking about this and you've just said, you know, they've dropped the standard. So maybe I've been under supplementing and I should be doing more.
Yeah, with vitamin D, it's always good to get your bloods done though, because if you have been, like I got bloods recently from one of my male clients and he's been supplementing with vitamin D, not a lot actually, but his vitamin D was about 200 and I was like, oh, that's really like good, but it's high. But when I look at that in conjunction to other things, so he also had low calcium and he also had, he was ADHD, so he's taking dexamphetamine, which puts a lot of stress through the kidneys. So, and he also indicated in his bloods that he wasn't coping with foods that are high in oxalates. So foods that are high in oxalates like spinach, potatoes, there's a whole list of things. So when you've got really high vitamin D in the presence of high oxalates and low calcium, and it's not being supported with vitamin K2, we can increase the risk of kidney stones. And because he was already taking dexamphetamine as well as his medication, that already puts enough stress for the kidneys. So for him, I was like, all right, we need to stop this vitamin D supplementation. And his magnesium was low as well. So if your magnesium is low, you're not actually going to be able to convert vitamin D to its active form. So we need to make sure there's sufficient levels of magnesium before we go in with a heavy high dose of vitamin D. So we will typically use like, if someone's really low in vitamin D, we will do like 100,000 a week. So it's two doses of 50,000 IUs. And obviously we want to monitor this, but we won't let them do it until they've done a week of magnesium supplementation. We strip oxalates out of their diet. We support them with vitamin K2 just to reduce any risk of kidney stones or anything happening or calcification. Because again, too much vitamin D is bad, but too much when there's low magnesium, low calcium, then we're going to have quite a lot of problems. So getting it tested is probably number one. And then if you're going to be supplementing with anything over 10,000 a day, we want to support that with vitamin K2 as well. So it's very intricate.
Yeah. Wow. It seems very intense, to be honest.
The thing with supplementation is it's not as simple as just going out and getting something and taking it. We've got to look at the interactions. We've got to look at blood work. We've got to look at the lifestyle as well. Like, why is their vitamin D low in the first place? Is it low because they have low magnesium, or are they not eating enough fat and therefore they've got low cholesterol? If you have low cholesterol, you can't assimilate vitamin D from the sun. So then we've got kind of, or is it, are they really inflamed or do they have a lot of body fat because they're going to struggle to absorb vitamin D as well? Do they have dark skin and they're going to struggle to absorb vitamin D too? So they've got to look at those factors as well. Why is this low in the first place? Typically when we see with women and female athletes in general, low vitamin D and iron will come hand in hand. And I know there is research pretty much talking about that if they are low in iron, they're pretty much going to be low in vitamin D and vice versa. And that's going to have a massive effect on their energy levels.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's kind of intense, to be honest. I didn't realize. I thought you could just go down to the shop and buy some stuff and it'd be fixed. So I guess that's pretty crazy. So I guess, you know,
getting your bloods done, but having them read by someone who understands the functional ranges. So we obviously look at bloods from a functional lens, and then your GPs will look at it from a pathological lens. So your GPs are looking for disease, essentially. Their job is to diagnose and treat disease. That's not what we're doing. We're not GPs. We're not doctors. We're not looking to diagnose. We're not looking to treat disease. If that comes up, then we're referring out 100%. But we're looking at it through a different lens. So our ranges are a lot harder to hit. For example, vitamin D, I want over 120, and the pathological range is 50. So our ranges are harder to hit, but if you can hit them, you're going to feel better. You're going to have that optimal health, optimal performance, optimal body composition. You're going to feel better, sleep better. So our job is more that optimal health, where your GP's job is more that, you know, absence of disease or diagnosis and treatment of disease. They're not really looking at how do I get this person feeling the best ever. It's like, okay, you don't have a disease, so you are healthy. It's all good. So it's just like looking, we look at it through a different lens to them.
That makes so much sense to me now, because like I've gone to like 4 different doctors over the last 2 years, and I'm like, hey man, like I just got low energy, dude. Like, what can I do to kind of get 10% better, 20% better? And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you're fit, like stop working out so hard. And like, this is what everyone said. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? No, I just want to be better. Like, and they're like, no, that's fine. You're all good. And I walk out like thinking like, what the fuck? Like I'm trying to get the best, like I'm trying to optimize myself. And they're just like, nah, you're all good, man. Like,
and I was the same when I was going through like the peak of my gut issues. I was seeing everyone that I could, trying to figure out what was going on. And I was just kind of dismissed as IBS, told that you're not overweight, so you're fine. Like your BMI is fine. Like everything's fine. I'm like, this is not normal. Like it is not normal to look 9 months pregnant every day. It is not normal. Like it is. And it's not normal to have, I'd be driving and I just have like this shooting pain, like I'm being stabbed. And I'm like, surely this is not what I have to live with, but this is the type of girls that we do deal with, is they come to us because they've either been told they've got PCOS, they've been told they've got Hashimoto's, they've been told they've got IBS, but they've been given no support on how to deal with it. But most of these have a root cause, and my job is to kind of go in and be like, okay, this is what we need to do to address it. So things like autoimmune, Hashimoto's, Graves' disease, they're typically going to be coming from leaky gut. So we go in and we address the leaky gut to help improve that. Whereas, so definitely looking at it through a different lens, but a lot of the girls that we see are pretty defeated, and because they have gone and saw specialists, they've had colonoscopies, which always come back clear. They've seen multiple people, paid a ton of money, and they've left feeling like shit, essentially, because there's like, they told me that there's nothing wrong and that I'm fine. And then you start to doubt yourself. Like I did the same. I'm like, maybe this is in my head. Maybe I'm making this up. Maybe this isn't happening. Like you start to think that you're crazy and that you're the only person this is happening to. So like after we do our specific protocols with our girls, after we've done their bloods and everything, like the feedback we get is, I can't believe, I feel like a new person. I can't believe there was something wrong and I can actually fix it. And I felt the same as well when I started working with Dan Garner in 2017, I think. After I was just getting no answers, and he did a ton of functional testing on me, and I came back with a massive list of problems, which most people, if they got that list, they'd probably feel defeated, like, oh my God, my body's destroyed. But I was like, I'm just relieved that there is actually something wrong with me and I'm not making this up.
Oh man, I bet it must have been some sort of relief there, realizing that. So then you could actually have something to work on, which is the 100%, best thing, right?
Exactly.
Rather than just being in the gray, oh, I guess this is it. Like, okay, sure. Okay, Mandy, really quickly, right? Because I know you've got to go and coach some people. So top 3 to 5 tips for nutrition and diet, like for athletes, business owners, but also females as well. Like, give me some top tips. What do you feel?
Before I go into that, I just want to touch on one thing. And there's some specific foods to help with mental and cognitive performance. So some things that you'll always see in a lot of my meal plans, particularly if someone has to function at a high mental like level of performance, is blueberries. So blueberries are high in choline. Like I said, they play a big role in the brain in synthesizing acetylcholine, that neurotransmitter. There is a ton of research on blueberries and how they improve memory, mental function, enhance working memory. They reduce inflammation on the brain. They improve blood flow to the brain. So about 120 grams of blueberries a day, which they are about $8 a punnet at the moment. But that's something a really big staple in my programs for cognitive performance.
So they're pretty much magic, in other words.
Pretty much. And then eggs as well. So eggs are high in B6, B12, B9, also high in choline. They actually probably have one of the high, the egg yolk has one of the highest sources of choline, which is about egg yolk has about 110 milligrams of choline, and we want to ideally get about 425 a day for women and 550 for men. Also really high in something called lutein, which can also prevent cognitive decline, also plays a very big role in brain function. Same with dark chocolate, okay? Dark chocolate's also really high in magnesium. It's also really high in flavonoids, which are a group of antioxidants compounds that also assist with cognitive function. Also pumpkin seeds. So pumpkin seeds are high in zinc, magnesium, copper, and iron, which are all needed for brain health. We know a lot about copper. And one of the things with an iron panel is girls are typically low in iron. And if they're supplementing with iron, which I typically don't recommend because that can cause more issues, but sometimes their iron deficiency isn't iron deficiency. It can be copper deficiency or B vitamin deficiency, because we need B6, B9, B12, molybdenum, and copper in order to convert iron to ferritin. I'm pretty sure that's right. I feel like maybe not B12, B6, B9, to convert iron to ferritin. So low copper can be a reason why girls are struggling to get their iron levels up, but pumpkin seeds are really high in copper, so are oysters. So including those in your diet can help increase that. And they're my main four foods that I thought I would include.
That's awesome. So pumpkin seeds, dark chocolate, eggs, and blueberries.
Yeah, they're my four go-tos. Seeds.
What percentage are we talking with the chocolate? Like, are we talking 80% or like what type of percentage are we talking?
70% and above.
Okay, cool.
Organic is obviously better. Some chocolate.
Not that white chocolate shit, hey, just the dark.
Definitely not white chocolate. That can be pro-inflammatory for the brain, which we don't want.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll take notes now.
But your 3 to 5 tips. Firstly, get your bloods done. 100%. If you're going to be an elite athlete, if you're going to be a business owner and you're going to be needing to function at a high level all the time, you're probably going to really benefit from getting your bloods done regularly, at least every 6 months or so, to make sure that you are not depleted in certain nutrients. Or if you are struggling with low energy, gut issues, like struggling to lose weight, you know, strength is plateaued or whatever, it's always worth getting them done. Having someone look at them that understands it from a functional perspective and that can actually put something together for you that's going to be individualized and applicable to what you need as well. That's the first one. Second one will be obviously making sure you're getting adequate protein. So like I said, as an athlete, we need about 1.8 to 2 grams per kilo of body weight. Particularly of animal protein, because we talked about how important those amino acids are. If you're going to be vegetarian, you're going to need to look at supplementing with essential amino acids and creatine and probably B12, B6, iron, zinc. Honestly, the list is long, to make sure you're getting those amino acids and micronutrients in that you would normally get from animal protein. Then making sure you're consuming enough total calories. So like I said, for athletes, we are looking at optimal energy availability around 40 calories per kilo of body weight. If you are working it out and you realize you're really low, I wouldn't just jump up there, but you might just gradually increase every couple of weeks slowly, whether that's by, I don't know, 5 calories every couple of weeks or something, or 10% of the calories you're eating. If you increase that every 2 weeks and start that reverse dieting process and trying to get up to that 40 calorie mark. And lastly, make sure you're getting plenty of variety in your diet. So the more variety that you have, then the more amino acids you're going to get exposed to, the more micronutrients you're going to get exposed to. If you're eating the same food every single day, you're not going to be getting that variety. You're potentially going to be missing certain micronutrients. But not only that, your gut microbiome really loves variety. We need that to feed our, you know, short-chain fatty acids and increase the diversity of our gut. Eating the same things all the time, not very good for the gut. And over time can lead to things like dysbiosis and leaky gut and whatnot.
Yeah. When guys and girls say variety and diet, it sounds like effort to me.
You know what? And I am the same, because we do, we function, we do have to, we have to function at a high level, and fast convenience is important. So we just eat what we're used to. But one of the best things you can do if you're busy is get a meal prep service and change your meals up. So then you are getting exposed to, you know, your different vegetables, different meats, you know, even different carb sources. Like Healthy Power Meals have some really great stuff down there. There's a, you know, tailored nutrition is good. I've done, I think it's macro meals before as well, especially when I was fighting at the end of last year. I was just getting a meal prep service for lunch and dinner because I could not be bothered to cook. I didn't have time. I was getting home at 9 o'clock from training, if I was lucky. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to spend 40 minutes cooking. Yep. So if you are pushed for time, then get a meal prep service, so you 100%. Don't have to think about it. And it takes out that decision-making as well, so you don't have to be like, oh, what am I going to eat? What do I have? Do I have to go to the shop? Like,
yeah, 100%, guys. And if you're in Perth, get Healthy Power Meals. They're my mate's company, Vesna and Jacob, they own it, and it's unbelievable. So give them a try, guys. They're also crafting a new Scarborough shop as well, so keep an eye out for that. But anyway, so yeah, 6 months bloods. And most importantly, what I just totally took from this podcast was get it read by someone who actually like is for that goal, if that makes sense.
100%. Yes. Who understands that. Yeah.
Awesome. Protein, calories, and variety and diet. Amazing. So Mandy, how can people find out more about you, your company? And if they want to learn more about, you know, your services, where can people find you?
The best place would be our website, so www.mhperformancecoaching.com. It's just been completely redone. It's still not quite finished, but you'll get a really good information about the different programs we offer. Tons of videos on there of what our athletes kind of do and how their experience has been while they've been with us. And Instagram is probably where I do the most posting, which is mandyhopper_MHP, or you can email me at mandy@mhperformancecoaching.com.
Yeah, amazing. So guys, if you're wanting to learn more about Mandy and her company, I'll put the website and socials below the podcast as well. So you can just click on that and just check them out. She's got heaps of like books as well, ebooks as well. Like, so just, she's got so much stuff going on. It's crazy. So I'm grateful for you to coming on the podcast and sharing your time with me today, Mandy. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I'll speak to you soon.